Could it be a true housing market comeback?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The firm RealtyTrack says the number of home foreclosures fell 8% in November. That makes it 4 months in a row. But foreclosures aren't the only indicators of how the housing market's doing, as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
It's not just RealtyTrack. Real estate sites Zillow and Trulia say homes are holding their value better than they did last year. Alan Jin is an economics professor at the University of San Diego, and he says these are all signs the market's finally settling down.
We are seeing some firming in terms of the housing market. Prices are edging up in some metropolitan areas, for example, here in San Diego.
He says people are buying homes again because interest rates are low and the prices are cheap. And people are trying to take advantage of the tax credit for first-time buyers. That tax credit was just extended until next spring. Heather Fernandez is with the website Trulia. She says the extension could send a lot more inventory onto the market.
As existing homeowners and as banks holding foreclosures want to take advantage of this tax credit and the incentive that buyers have to jump in the market.
But she worries about what'll happen when the tax credit expires. And she says there could be a new wave of foreclosures among prime borrowers this time. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Shares are higher right now in Europe, except in Spain, where investors are worried about the country's debt level. Asian markets were mixed today. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P added about 0.3%, the NASDAQ 0.5%. The Dow was up 51 points to close at 10,337. Day four at the UN summit in Copenhagen, where the world is grappling with the issue of climate change. Marketplace reporters Stephen Beard and Sam Eaton are there. And this morning, our coverage continues with a look at the friction between the two biggest players, the U.S. and China. The debate over how to control heat-trapping gases has touched off this back and forth concerning what else? Money. So let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard right now, live from Copenhagen. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So why are these two squabbling over money?
Well, they've crossed swords over the question of how much the rich countries should pay the developing world, both to deal with the effects of climate change and to keep emissions of heat-trapping gases to a minimum. Now, U.S. officials here say we're happy to pay to help poor countries, but we're not handing over cash to China. It may be officially a developing country, but it's clearly not poor, so it's not getting U.S. taxpayers' dollars.
So how is China responding to that?
Well, they've said rather sniffily, we're not seeking financial support from the U.S. We're just pressing for rich countries to accept their responsibility for climate change and to help the developing world deal with the consequences. This does, however, open an old controversy. I mean, China is by far the biggest recipient of Western financial aid under this so-called clean development mechanism. This is where developing countries get financial help for projects that curb emissions. Now, these have to be new projects, but China has reportedly been getting billions and billions of dollars worth of help for projects that were actually going to happen anyway. And this also, of course, touches on an even more sensitive issue for the future, the extent to which China should be given access to Western clean technology under these UN arrangements. So a very touchy topic here
right
in Copenhagen.
Yeah, Stephen Beard, thank you for bringing it to us from Copenhagen. Hope you can check out. You got it. Hope you can check out Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl later today for more of our coverage from the UN Summit on Climate Change and Copenhagen.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit americanpublicmedia.org.
Let's face it, the standard corporate holiday party is part schmooze fest, part loosening up with coworkers, and part getting something for free. But fewer companies are having the seasonal get-togethers, and some of it is cost. Some of it is because they want to do something bigger, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
At companies across the country, human resource professionals like Mary Crick have been weighing this question.
given the economy and what folks were going through, did it really feel right to spend money on a party?
Crick works for PECO, the largest utility in Pennsylvania. Normally, the company holds a gala sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But with such high unemployment among its customers,
the decision was it didn't feel right, but we did have the money in the budget and everyone wanted to do something.
PECO set aside a day for employees to volunteer with local charities. Crick says turnout was better than expected.
We actually had more volunteers than there were slots available for.
She said the company decided to donate more than time.
We took the money that we would normally spend on the gala and donated it to each of those organizations.
In all, PECO is giving about $65,000 to local charities. Other companies are also rethinking holiday festivities. Mark Hutchins is with the international auditing firm KPMG.
For the last 20-plus years, we've done a holiday party sometime in December.
In this economic climate, Hutchins says a party seemed out of place.
And so we decided to do something a little bit different that still brought our people together and was more giving back to the community.
On a recent Friday at KPMG offices across the country, employees assembled teddy bears for disadvantaged kids. The final gift package included a children's book. I asked Hutchins how much his Los Angeles office spent to have 700 employees stuff teddy bears.
Oh, I'm sure it's in excess of $20,000, but that's way less than a holiday party would have been.
Few employees complained that the Grinch stole their holiday party, though one person said she enjoyed volunteering but wouldn't mind having the holiday party, too. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Hey, check us out online and share your thoughts with us inside our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.